Ricochet.
What? That's such a fun word.
I don't like it. I don't like it. Because it sounds like the thing that it is.
That's exactly why it's a fun word. Ricochet. Hi, welcome to Hey Podcast. We talk about the ghosts of the past, a little spirit of the future. Hey, Jessica.
Hey, Hannah.
How are you today?
Happy Halloween. We are weenin'. It's not 152 degrees outside.
It was downright chilly. And we got a spider on the curtains next to us. You have decored. Mm-hmm. We have made marks. Mm-hmm. There are skulls all about. Uh-huh. And some potions.
Yes.
So I'm glad that your season has arrived.
Fundamentally, I really just put actual regular decor in my house, but it's just a different color.
It starts to get a little dark. Do a thing. I'm glad that where I end, you begin.
Yes. I have to tell you, you remember that time that I was having the summer of Jessica?
Yes.
I think I'm having a Meemaw fall.
Oh. You know, okay. I just went to K-Ivy because people call her.
Fair, but not in this one.
But you probably need Grandma fall.
Yes.
Okay.
Because what I'm doing is I'm drinking my little drinks, I'm doing my little cozy hobbies, and I'm yelling at the children in the neighborhood.
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds right. Mm-hmm. Get off my lawn is something that's...
often.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't think it's the kids. It's not your fault this time, though. No. It's not like in a bad way.
No.
It's really a problem. The children in your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. In my neighborhood, my children might be the problem, so...
At least you're self-aware.
I know it. I know it, but I mean, what am I supposed to do?
Well, sorry, Jamie.
What am I supposed to do, parent?
I mean,
no, my kids actually do ask permission to plant other people's yards and have not been turned down yet.
Okay, well, these ones are teenagers, and she fucking know better. So.
Mine are five. So.
The ones in my neighborhood spray painted my tree.
Yeah. So. What?
Have you not seen the red spray paint all over the tree?
When did that happen?
Oh, that was over the summer. That was months ago.
No, I did not notice that at all. I mean,
it's a Bradford pear. It'll wear off, but...
Oh, I mean, those are the worst.
Yeah.
I wish I had a clever professor. They're called them prissy little trees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. So, he's upset with them.
They're a pain in the ass, and then there's the smell.
They do smell really bad, actually.
Well, we know what they smell like, but I'm going to invite our listeners to Google it.
Mm. I think I have to Google it. Am I missing something?
Maybe Google it real quick while we're live on the air.
I'm just gonna look this up right now.
Yep.
While we keep us going. Is this the... I don't know. No. I'm like, what?
Smell of Bradford pear pollen.
Smell of Bradford pear pollen is like what? Is this going to be like an... Oh, rotting fish. Oh, and...
What's the second thing?
Urine. Which I hate that word. And baby poop. Okay. I actually do think... You tell me what's the worst word. But I think urine is definitely the worst word.
The worst word.
It's not moist.
No, I don't really have beef with moist.
I don't have beef with moist. We should say it more for people who do.
Ricochet.
What? That's such a fun word.
I don't like it. I don't like it. Because it sounds like the thing that it is.
That's exactly why it's a fun word. Ricochet. It's happening as you say it.
I don't like it.
Okay. Don't like it.
I don't want to be that meta with the English language.
I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't know why I brought up my inner toddler came out. Well, Jessica, this is your season, spooky season, which you have claimed.
I did, very early. I claimed it in June.
Yeah, back in June.
That was in question.
She was like, I have October. And I was like, whoa.
You can deal with Thanksgiving.
Then we'll take a break for Christmas. And so anyway, you've claimed all of October, and you haven't told me anything.
I won't. Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you something today.
But not about next.
No.
Okay. That's fine. I can wait.
Or the week after that.
Okay, I can wait. I can wait. Secrets don't stress me out.
Okay. Well, that's not true.
Mm-hmm. What are you talking about tonight?
Okay.
Take your little tahini drink.
It's better. It's better now.
I called it tahini. Well, Jessica lined her margarita and tahini. Mm-hmm. Or is it tahini?
No, tahini is a different thing.
That's a... Yeah. I heard it. I was coming. Yeah. That's a good place.
It's just, it's a little clumpy in one spot, but I worked it out.
But anyway, Jessica lined her cup in tahini. Mm-hmm. We didn't know how to make it stick. So
I mean, we did. It's just that when you dump the simple syrup out the first time, I just figured you'd.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. Okay, well, Jessica had this. Okay, so I was going to dip my finger in the simple syrup and run it around the rim of Jessica's glass.
And then immediately panicked and just like.
And then put my finger back in the simple syrup a second time. And I was like, what if you don't want my germs, though? What if you don't want my finger germs? Just eating a chicken sandwich and did not wash my hands. Anyway, Jessica asked.
I have all my vaccines. I'm fine. Good.
I mean, I'm not contagious right now. I mean, my eye's having a problem.
Okay. Well, there's nothing I can do for your eye. It's
yeah, just, I gotta go. Yeah.
It's just our third.
It's just weeping.
Third host, actually.
Mm-hmm. My tears. I just won't go to the doctor about it. I'm going to this week, though, probably.
Okay.
What are we talking about?
All right. Okay. All right. Remember last week when we were having our usual fuck about before we record?
Obviously.
Where I went on a little bit of a tangent about trigger warnings.
We did. What? Yeah.
People are a little fast and loose with the trigger warnings.
Mm-hmm. I will say they might be a little overused.
Yes. However.
However.
I'm introducing something today.
Oh.
Our first true crime. Therefore.
Trigger warning for murder?
No.
Oh.
Spoiler alert, there's a murder in this true crime podcast. There are some accusations.
Oh.
They're on their way. Mm. I'm going to spend about probably a collective 15 seconds talking about them, but just so we're prepared. Mm. There's some, like, allegations of some child stuff, but it's not central to the story.
Okay.
At least in the way that I'm telling it.
Okay. And we shall move on.
Okay, here's my number two for our story today.
Oh, my God, are there two trigger warnings?
Yes. Well, no.
Oh.
Well, depends on the fan base. this story, as you hear it, I would like you to think about your favorite Zach Bryan album. Because that is the backdrop.
What if we don't know any Zach Bryan albums?
Well, you'll have one today. This will stick to any of them.
Okay.
And not like sweet, demure Zach Bryan. I mean, like... Fuck it, take me to jail then. DUI, Zach Bryan.
Yeah, my daddy runs this town, Zach Bryan.
Yeah.
Okay. Those are the vibes.
We're going on a road trip.
Okay.
Buckle up.
I love a road trip.
Get in the seat.
Okay.
Lock in.
Get your snackies.
Uh-huh.
I actually don't like a road trip snacky, but yeah, you do, so I got your snackies ready.
Uh-huh.
As usual.
Yep. Because we're going to Jackson County, Alabama.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not very far.
No. I didn't say we were going on a long
one. Just this disappointing road trip for me already.
I told you, okay. I warned you.
I'm ready for Jackson, Alabama, okay. Specifically.
No, Jackson County.
Jackson County, Alabama.
Uh-huh. Which is in,
Yeah, actually, I'm from Alabama. Where is that?
It's in... Okay, we have to go south.
Okay, going south.
From Jefferson County. And then we got a scoop, and then we're going all the way up.
Okay, south and up.
Got a boop and then a boop.
Okay. A south and then a north?
You got to get down to get up.
Okay.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What a path.
To get to this specific part of Jackson.
Oh, okay.
It's in southern Appalachia.
Okay.
And it's famous because of crimes.
Oh. Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to guess?
No, now I'm stressed. I don't know any town in Jackson, Alabama, Jackson County, Alabama.
Except that you do. It's most infamous because this is where the Scottsboro boys case happened.
Oh, so Scotts.
Scottsboro.
So Scottsboro. Oh my God, my husband is from there. Jadio. It's from Scottsboro. He grew up in Scottsboro. Jadio is from a land of crime. He grew up there. Okay. I can't wait to hear about Jadio's history.
It's not his history. It's so clear.
What if it turned out to be?
Nope.
Okay.
It's not. We would know. Promise.
Okay. What happens in Scottsboro besides Scottsboro boys?
Well,
which maybe we should do another episode.
Yeah, we could cover the Scott. I do think it's interesting that I called the Scottsboro boys and none of them are from Scottsboro.
Not a single one.
No. In typical form, I'm going to give you a little background.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson County is established December 13th, 1819.
Mm-hmm. That's many, many years ago.
1 week before the state of Mississippi.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
This land is absolutely just stolen from the Creek Nation.
Mm, indeed.
Typical form. Following the Battle of Horseshoe Bend.
Mm-hmm.
Well-known.
I know this battle.
Well-known,
You doubt me.
No.
Don't test me. I'll stress out.
I'm trying
to. Don't test me. I'll stress out.
General, I think we're playing a little fast and loose with it. We're going to go with it. Both okay. Well-known general. Andrew fuck-ass Jackson.
Yeah. Which would be the Jackson County situation.
Correct. He decided he was victorious over the Red Stick Creek and forced them to sign the Treaty of Fort Jackson in 1814.
Okay.
The act fell under the parameters set in the Indian Removal Act, which did contribute to the Trail of Tears.
Indeed.
Jackson County is a northeastern corner of the state bordering Tennessee and Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a squeak over 1,000 square miles.
Mm.
Not a big place.
Okay.
Before Scottsboro is the county seat, it was, I'm going to confidently get some kickback on the way I say this.
Okay.
Because to me, an outsider.
I support you.
The county seat was Bellefonte.
Okay.
But I'm confident someone's going to tell me it's Bellefonte.
Probably.
Because vowels are hard in the South.
Vowels are hard. Because I am an educated woman, I will agree with you on the previous pronunciation you had.
It was good enough for Harry.
That's me just slandering. But I think that Harry's pronunciation should trump all other pronunciations.
Correct.
Because he is an icon.
Yes. It was the county seat from 1821 to 1859 when the seat was moved to Scottsboro.
Mm.
Scottsboro was named after Robert T. Scott, who, according to the plaque on the courthouse, generously funded by the Scottsboro High class of 1958.
The high schoolers.
Uh-huh.
Fundraisers.
Really focused on what matters in 58, you know. It says, quote, Scott was eventually thwarted by Yankees who killed him via heat exhaustion after he was forced to pull a Union wagon.
Okay, heat exhaustion is famously not a thing you can actually do to somebody. It just kind of happens. Also, the Yankees on a plaque? This is written?
Uh-huh. On the courthouse.
Stop!
Uh-huh. And so this is the part of the episode where I put you on the spot.
Oh, God, I'm already stressed. Okay. Go ahead.
Hannah, could you explain the Pentecost dust?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can. Pentecost. Okay, so once upon a time, Jesus died, and then he rose again. Mm-hmm. And then he spent some time just, like, being a ghost.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not really, but he, like, did fade between roles. Mm-hmm. And so he trusts everybody out. But then he floated back to heaven. It's called the Ascension. And then what had happened, all the disciples in the church was like, oh my God, Jesus is gone. And they're panicking a little bit. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what's going to happen now? What the fuck? Jesus is gone. Great void is left in the world. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus was like, I will give my spirit to you, which he had promised previously. But then it happened. And so in the church where all the Christians were gathered in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit of God descended upon everybody. And there were like tongues and flames of like. They call it, like, tongues of fire above everybody's head.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all started speaking in languages they didn't know previously. So they were suddenly able to, like, communicate to one another in a miraculous fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Pentecost, the day that the Spirit of God descended upon the people. Because even though Jesus was gone in body, mm-hmm. Jesus' presence remains.
Hannah, thank you for your explanation of the Pentecost. For the heathens at home like me.
There are occasional moments for me to use my education.
Mm-hmm. What the fuck is the deal with the snake rituals? Thank you for asking. I'd love to tell you.
Oh. There was talk of grabbing snakes.
Uh-huh.
In the Bible.
Snake handling originated in the early 1900s because of exactly one guy.
Was he from Scottsboro?
No.
Oh, did he have anything to do with the murder?
Nope.
Okay. I can't.
George Hensley. So a circuit rider.
Mm, yes.
Who told the masses that God commanded him to take up serpents.
Mm. Oh, circuit riders, for listeners, are preachers who used to write about on the circuit. Like Mailman.
Mailman.
Like the Pony Express.
Uh-huh. And
deliver sermons.
For, again, the heathens at home, I have provided the quote from the Book of Mark. Look at me doing my research.
It is, okay, mm-hmm. Reading the Bible.
And these signs shall follow them that they believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Indeed. The miracles.
And then we got George.
Oh.
He was so like, this is about me.
We went from Mark to George. Yep. He said Mark spoke to me.
Mm-hmm. Mark called me last week. Told me good news. Apparently, as all circuit riders were known to, well, maybe not all, the famous ones, very charismatic. So charismatic.
Yeah.
With the people in the deep, deep hills of Appalachia.
You know, I just feel like the fact they were seeing a new person, maybe.
Huh?
Yeah. A lot for them.
But I got.
Okay. And I don't want to crack on the ancestors of Appalachians.
Yeah, don't do that.
But.
I know how those people are.
They're intense. I actually don't want to mess with them. But. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a lot. By the Depression, George and Mark. Bros across time. had the Pentecostal community in arms. Over the snakes.
Too many snakes.
Well, or not enough.
Oh.
Because what they're doing, they're snake handling.
Oh.
The Pentecostal holiness people.
Okay. Okay.
However, there's a snake triangle. Because God also talked to some guy named James.
So Georgia James.
Uh-huh, in Sand Mountain, Alabama, who also was like, do the tongue thing, the snake thing, and like drink some weird stuff. That's all you, James. Don't worry about George. He doesn't know. What he doesn't know won't hurt him.
It's fine. Leave George out. Leave George out of this.
Uh-huh. Now, supposedly, members speak in tongues while they handle snakes. Okay. In the Pentecostal holiness.
Indeed.
Church members are always invited to handle the snakes, but they believe that only the anointed will actually be able to do that.
Well, do you know what kind of snakes they're handling?
Poisonous ones.
Venomous.
Poisonous ones.
No.
It's actually going to matter in the story.
Okay.
I know what you're saying to me. But they are called poisonous in the story a lot.
Okay. I'll allow it in this one case.
Poisonous.
I actually was reading a book the other day. I can't remember what it was now, but they called a snake poisonous and I was devastated.
It's a really specific hill to die on. But now, if someone handles one and they get bitten, it doesn't have any bearing on their devotion to God.
Oh, okay. But if they die by one, is that a bearing?
No.
Oh, okay.
In fact, if you get bitten and live, get bitten and die, or don't get bitten at all, it's just God's will. And as far as we know, God has willed 92 people dead.
Damn that merciless dictator. Oh, my God.
According to snake ritual specialist Cody Coots, who is the son of a snake man, quote, the snake bite is just a test of fate to see if you will go to the doctor or get medicine.
Okay, so you're not supposed
God. To... Science or God.
Yeah, gotta make a choice, y'all.
Uh-huh.
You know, this is feeling pretty contemporary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. we're gonna fast forward it a little bit.
Okay.
Because we're going to 1944. Jackson County.
Jackson County after the Civil War.
Yes.
The Civil War. The only war that matters. They were all Civil Wars. After World War II.
No.
1944?
Right in the middle of World War II.
You're right. You're right. I'm not a
I know it's tough because Alabama only talks about the one, but.
All I know about World War II actually came from Molly the American Girl books. So. Yeah,
but famously 1944, still the war in her era, too.
That's my bad.
Glenn Summerford was born in
1944.
Mm-hmm. To a already pretty broken white trash family, I think.
Oh, that's pretty sad.
Yeah. His biological dad bailed super early in life, but his mother remarried, like, almost immediately. Really out of, you have to.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do? Not be married?
Yeah. Glenn says in some archival tapes that his stepdad was, quote, his best friend.
Oh.
Well.
Oh.
Glenn got bullied like hell when he was little.
Oh.
He's like pretty scrawny kid. He couldn't really like stand up for himself or fight back.
So he's everything that I see when I think of a kid named Glenn then.
Yeah. Well, the thing is though, like total speculation. I think he was an outcast because of like his family situation. I can't prove that, but like if everybody's pretty white trash and you're picking on that kid.
That's true. He's got to be like.
He's a white kid. And other white kids are picking on him.
The whiter of the white kids. Which,
yeah. There's something's happening there. His stepdad married his stepmom like 47 seconds after coming home from war.
Oh, yeah.
Classic. Unclear World War II or the Korean War. I don't know. One of them.
I don't know when the Korean War was, to be honest.
Immediately following World War II.
Okay. So one or the other.
Stepdad, whose name I couldn't find. Well, he's just stepdad. Was Special Forces. So he's so good at hand-to-hand combat.
Oh.
So he asks Glenn if he wanted to learn to stick up for himself.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
And Glenn's like, I would love to stop getting my ass beat.
He's like, let me hit back.
Yeah. So they spend months together. And his dad's teaching him hand-to-hand combat, like how to keep his balance. And it's the whole thing.
How not to get bullied.
Yeah. According to Glenn, he, quote, went everywhere with him. And it's his own little white trash way is actually, like, kind of sweet.
Okay.
And like a Cracker Barrel way.
Okay. A Cracker Barrel way of family.
Yeah. So Glenn learns to stick up for himself, finally. Good job, Glenn. When he's little, he meets Doris. They have kind of a, they met when they were in first grade.
Okay, so that she too was in first grade.
Yes.
Okay.
It's like a Jenny and Forrest kind of situation. Oh. Like they grow up together.
Oh, so sweet.
Except without all the, you know, the drugs and the AIDS and stuff.
Yeah, that was rough for her.
He declared the first day he met her that he was going to marry her, and she said, gross, I'm six.
Now she's right for that.
But they did get married September 16th,
1963. 1963. It's a very busy year in Alabama.
Uh-huh. Approximately 24 hours after a world-changing event, Glenn and Doris get married. 16th Street Baptist Church bombing if you didn't listen to Hannah's series.
Please listen to our series.
Now, while they're married, very early in their marriage, he goes to prison for assault and battery. And he says in these archival tapes that he, when he got released, quote, I still had that fighting in my blood.
Oh, so who did he assault and battery?
I don't know.
Oh, so he just did somebody.
Yeah.
So he
just did somebody. Yes.
He just did somebody. He just did assault some and battery somebody.
Yeah. So he comes out of prison.
Oh, my God.
And he starts fighting in fight clubs.
Okay.
Like boxing clubs.
Oh, so is he making some money?
A little.
Okay. Is he mostly getting some aggression out?
Well, the thing is, you must remember, a man who was in the Special Forces with no mental health benefits when he came home taught him hand-to-hand combat. So.
I would imagine Glenn is. And
they were best friends.
Really doing well.
Yeah. In one instance, he beat his opponent so hard that his eye apparently popped out onto his face.
Oh. I don't know if Glenn's, I don't know if Glenn's well.
Glenn says he's remorseful about that.
Okay.
That made him a lot of enemies because apparently this guy was like the guy in town. Those enemies made a point, according to some, to retaliate by setting Glenn's house on fire while he and his family were inside.
Oh.
And that's Doris, Glenn, and their six children.
Six?
Yeah.
Mate, that's a lot of children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. With a lot of kids.
Yeah. Well, she said, I'm six, and he took that literally, so.
Yeah. He's like, okay. Yeah. Wow, it's a lot of kids. So I imagine Glenn was mad about that.
Yeah. Well, so the house is set on fire. The oldest one, Glenn Jr., was like, hey, Dad, the house is on fire. What do we do? So he grabs a TV, he breaks the window, and he's like, hey, putting kids out of the window to get them out.
Six kids.
Yes. He goes to pull Doris, but she's trying to get their 18-month-old out of the bed. And the window explodes. And it sets her on fire. So he grabs her because her hair's on fire.
Panic.
And she's struggling because she's like, my daughter's right. I gotta get my kid.
Yeah, yeah.
The two of them go out the window.
The daughter and the wife?
Glenn and Doris.
Oh, my God. They left the child?
They fall out. And the flames get so bad so quickly that they can't get the little girl out. You see why I put the trigger warning in.
Oh, my God.
They all go to the hospital. A handful of them suffer burns, but for the most part, everybody else is fine. There's a very obvious and clear point of contention now between the two of them. It's not that she holds him responsible for the fire or the fact that it happened. She's feeling some animosity towards him because
he pulled her away from her kid when she was trying to get him out,
and then took her to the hospital when she's still like actively trying to go back and save the baby.
Yeah, I'd be bitter about that.
Glenn starts drinking a lot. You know, he was already a drinker, but like a very intense trauma happened for him.
Yeah. He leaned onto something that was already going on.
Yep. He stopped talking about their daughter. Like he wasn't having that. He became really abusive towards Doris and the kids. And then this documentary I watched, which kind of sparked this whole thing. Because let me tell you, this documentary came out in 2020 and the world was really focused on the Tiger King and not enough on this.
Oh. What's the name of the documentary?
Alabama Snake.
Okay.
The documentary filmmakers ask Doris in her interview if she thought Glenn was capable of murder. And she takes this, like, very long pause and just says, possibly.
That means yes.
Yeah, that means I'm not going to say yes on camera is what that means.
Turn the camera off, let me tell you the truth.
So Glenn and Doris separate, obviously. And then he met and married Darlene Summerford before he was divorced.
Okay.
He was so not divorced that he had to use a different name.
Oh. No.
And they got married on Doris's birthday in 1974.
So he was technically a polygamist?
Yep.
Okay.
And Doris says, quote, he wanted to make sure I didn't forget.
Yeah, well, he feels like a bad dude.
Darlene was 19 when they got married.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Ew.
And she says in the same documentary, quote, on the first day I got married to him, I didn't want to be married no more. I was scared to death of him.
Oh, my God.
She has a son from a previous relationship that was taken by the state. And that...
yeah, because she was like an unwed mother, I'm assuming.
Oh, like 100%. The documentary just says because of her personal doings. I don't...
That's...
I don't know for sure what that means.
Actually, extremely vague.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they have a son together. His name's Marty.
Oh, Marty. Marty Summerford.
Marty is... Oh, he's such a sweet man.
Oh.
He's in like a large chunk of this documentary. He's like, could not be any more opposite from Glenn.
So he's not... He's...
couldn't be more.
Apple fell far away from the tree.
It ran from the tree, actually. Glenn was really hands-on with his other six children. But after the fire, he was almost like entirely removed from caring for Marty at all.
Oh, so that's why maybe Marty turned out not like his dad.
Well.
Not like his dad.
Well.
Oh? Oh my God, is Marty the murderer?
No.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
Okay. No more guesses. Sorry. In the documentary, Glenn says by the time Marty was born, he'd, quote, quit trying to do right.
Oh.
Yeah. So your mom's 19 and your dad's an abusive alcoholic.
Yeah, and he's no longer trying to do right.
Now, they are similar in that when Marty is little, he is also very scrawny and getting picked on and he can't stand up for himself.
Oh.
However.
Oh, no.
Does not take to fighting like Glenn does. Glenn's like, I'll teach you how to do it. And Marty was like, bah.
He said, I'm a lover. I'm not a
senior work.
Oh, no.
Because Marty watched Glenn beat the eyes out of another man with a pair of vice grips after he tried to hit on Darlene. And then they threw the man into a waterfall and left him for dead.
Okay. Well, actually, it does seem like the eye thing is maybe a trademark of Glenn.
Now, one day.
Oh.
Any day. You pick the day. It doesn't say, but the day.
Like a Thursday.
Yeah. Glenn's in the woods. Because it's all the woods. It's Jackson County.
It's like, okay.
Two men in the woods tell Glenn he needs God.
Okay. I mean, something's going to change.
And so Glenn says that God told him that if he isolates and he fasts, that God will teach him to read.
Oh. So Glenn can't read?
No.
Oh, Glenn.
So he goes to like a cave for 30 days.
Does he come out reading?
Yeah.
But
the Bible only, though.
Okay.
All of them. All the stories. I don't know why there was a Bible in the cave. It remains unclear.
Was it maybe perhaps that it's just the South and there are lots of Bible stories floating around?
That could be.
Okay.
But he learned them in a cave because God promised you'd teach him to read if he didn't eat for 30 days.
Okay.
Who am I to judge? That's God's job.
It's just God's. That's not. This is above me.
As a result of that, he became Pentecostal Holiness. And Darlene was baptized.
Mm.
Pentecostal. And then they went to church every single night.
Okay, that's too much church.
Not long after he converted, he became pastor of the Church of Jesus with Signs Following.
The Church of Jesus Signs Following. What kind of a name is that?
Pentecostal Holiness. It's on Woods Cove Road.
Is it still there?
I don't know. It probably wasn't not on Google Maps, so.
Probably not.
I'm not even sure it had an actual address.
Oh, my God. You're all so funny. Okay.
He stopped drinking.
Okay.
Marty, I think, wants to believe that Glenn wanted to be a better dad.
Mm, well, of course he did.
Yes. Like a lot of people claim that Glenn healed them.
Mm.
Like people got out of their wheelchairs and walked out of the church. He fixed broken jaws and like somebody got caught up in like a bar knife fight once and he healed all the wounds.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm a skeptic, Jessica.
Same.
Okay.
There's video footage in this documentary of Darlene like very easily handling these snakes.
Oh.
She is anointed.
Some people have a way.
According to the rules of just snake rituals. Because they're not biting her. It is God's will that she is anointed and it's okay.
I wonder what you could do for snakes. Like, can you smoke like bees, you know? I'm wondering.
I don't know.
I think if you get them when they're like freshly, they're not hungry, you know?
Yeah. I don't know.
Hmm.
I think the answer is maybe like fundamentally don't lock them up in a box.
I think so. And then, you know, when they're shedding, they're kind of grumpy.
Yeah. Apparently, the only bite that anybody ever saw on Darlene is about to get so, so white trash.
Mm.
They had a pet raccoon.
Stop! Not a pet raccoon.
And it bit her in the hand. That's the only time that anybody ever saw any bites on her. At this point in Glenn's pastoral career,
okay,
he believed in the most literal interpretation of baptism by fire.
Oh God!
And I think he thought he had one when the house was set on fire.
Oh, oh no!
Because then, like, God came to him.
Mm-hmm.
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 Yeah.
And then that would explain like, the Doreen situation because she was on fire.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is the 90s.
Okay.
Okay.
The 1890s.
The 1990s.
Oh, wait a second. We just talked about the... I'm so sorry. We just talked about the Korean War. I'm so sorry. Carry on.
Just also the 1900s.
the 19... You looked at me like I was so dumb.
Now, they're married for a while, and things are not... Like, I wouldn't do it, but they're not, like, the worst it's ever been.
Happy.
They're like, middle America happy.
So.
Someone knows what I mean.
Middle America happy. Oh my God. So funny.
Like you can't stand each other, but you're probably not getting divorced.
Yeah, you're just living life together. Yeah. Classic boomers, honestly.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, boomers.
But the story begins to split.
Oh, well.
Okay. It becomes a he said, she said.
Oh.
Now, according to Glenn, he didn't want to divorce her. He felt sorry for her, though. So that's why they're together.
Mm. Well, maybe it's because you were a grown-ass man and made a 19-year-old. Well,
also that. Darlene believed Glenn didn't, this is according to Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
Darlene believed that he didn't love her anymore. And she decided to start having an affair.
Mm-hmm.
Well. And while he was just praying in the woods.
Oh.
He busted her. Bringing another man into their house.
Mm.
And because she, like, soiled the marital bed.
Oh, God. Well.
Yeah. When she gets busted, again, according to Glenn, she tried to antagonize him into hitting her so that she had reasons for divorce.
Okay, well, that's antagonized into hitting. Like, really? Is that what I'm going to say, Glenn?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to enter another bonus trigger warning on this. Glenn accuses her of sleeping with two of his underage sons. He said he didn't believe that it happened until one son was like, Dad, Darlene did this to me. Mm. One son, when asked, said it happened. The other one had absolutely no idea what they were talking about.
Oh.
And it is not my truth to decide who's right.
No.
There's no further information. I did not go any further on that.
We are presenting.
But this conversation, like, it comes out of the house. They're in the woods, like, bitching and moaning at each other. They come back in. Darlene had quit doing drugs after her baptism. And if they're going to church, I think.
Like her water baptism?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just clarify. Because I think, as bizarre as this church was, I think she finally had some, like, community and wasn't finding a way out of whatever pain she had gone through. That night, though, she, again, according to Glenn, downed a bottle of pills in a suicide attempt, and Marty found her in the bathroom.
Mm.
He forced a bunch of water down her throat, and she threw them back up.
Okay.
He said it came out like blue paint.
Oh, well. Wow.
Yeah.
Poor Marty.
Mm-hmm. Glenn says that she then told him she wanted to handle the serpents because she had repented, but she said she'd gotten bitten by the snakes.
Mm.
He chose to pray with her and didn't want the divorce, and he says he never saw any snake bites on her.
Interesting.
So, yeah. Next day, again, according to Glenn.
Mm-hmm. All Glenn's side of the story.
Uh-huh. They go out and they run errands together because after you accuse your wife of child assault.
Yeah. It's going to go to Walmart.
Going to return your rented videotapes. Which is what they did.
The old Blockbuster.
Uh-huh. Okay. I don't even think it was a Blockbuster.
sorry,
it was one of those, like,
some, like, golf brand.
Small town, like, video rental tanning salons. Because it's the 90s.
The 90s.
They return the rented videos. He got gas, so this has to be a small place because this all happens in the same parking lot. And, like, nothing's wrong with her. They went out to dinner and they went home.
Mm-hmm.
She was fine.
Classic little 90s date.
God told Glenn.
Oh.
That they could get divorced on Monday.
Okay. You know, how are these preacher types?
Uh-huh.
They always just wield what God says.
And Glenn agreed that he would do it and he would help Darlene get mental treatment.
Okay.
According to Glenn.
Because she's the problem.
She wrote a note to Marty and bailed.
Oh.
Because she didn't want the divorce because she had already lost one son and she was afraid she was going to lose another one. It, according to Glenn, was written like a suicide note. And he says that she then made the snakes bite her. Like, she handled them until they bit her on purpose. As the suicide attempt.
Okay.
According to Darlene, Glenn was out to kill her. She says Glenn made her write the note to Marty, and according to her, she never tried suicide. She's never at any point.
Okay.
She does say in the documentary, quote, "Sometimes I just wished I was dead." And sometimes I wish he would die.
Well, this sounds like they were in a very bad place.
I prayed for him to die, and the Lord showed me not to do that. It was wrong to pray for that.
Well.
She also says there was a demon in Glenn. She says one night that the demon came into their room in the middle of the night. And she's kind of adorable in her little way. She's like, you know how black is. This was blacker than that. So, this demon is the blackest paint on earth. And she casts it out.
Oh, how?
She's begone, demon. And it's like, oh, my bad.
I know.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
My fault, wrong house.
Was this your house? Sorry.
And so Glenn wakes up and he's like, what the hell is going on? She's like, I cast that demon out. He's like, I don't believe you. You're not anointed. And the demon claims Glenn. And, like, solidarity with Darlene.
The Glenn's like, don't you talk that way about Darlene.
She did it. I'll prove you. From then, he started drinking again and turned, quote, bad evil. So they get into a fight one time, and he hits her in the forehead with the butt of his shotgun.
Oh, my God.
And she runs into the woods. Now, Glenn says this whole argument leads them to the woods. She says she's escaping to the woods to get away from the...
From the shotgun butt. Yeah. From the violence.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
He chases after her with a shotgun, and she believes that he was going to kill her that day.
Well.
Now, little Marty, who's like 12.
Oh.
Baby 12.
Okay.
Ain't about that action.
Yeah, scrawny little Mart.
He says, you're not going to touch my mom.
What's he do?
He sees that Glenn Reyes is going to shoot at Darlene. And he shot his bow and arrow, sent one right past Glenn's head into the tree in front of him.
Did he mean to miss?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Marty.
He's, like, so good at bow and arrow.
Oh, my God. He's like a Trojan horse.
Yeah.
Like a snake.
Uh-huh. Now, it pops off from there. Like, they're arguing, they're bickering for a hot little minute. So, a brother-in-law and a sister, I'm not sure whose, come to get Marty.
Relatives.
Yes. They pick Marty up. They're like, listen, we're white trash, but we're not, like, that kind of white trash.
Kill wife in the woods.
Well, yeah.
Like, get together.
We're not doing it. The arguing apparently gets so bad that Glenn forced Darlene to put her hand in the snake box that night to prove her, her...
Like, anointedhood?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And she got bit. Now, like I said before, there's all this footage of her constantly handling these snakes, and they're just like, oh, it's Darlene. We go way back. He said he'd take her in the hospital in the morning if she went to the liquor store with him. They return the videos. She is obviously ill from this venom that's just been coursing through her for hours.
From the snake.
She says, from the poison. Okay, you see why that matters.
I see what that matters.
Her hand is like visibly swollen. Mm-hmm. And she's like teeter-tottering in this like dramatic interpretation. Because
it's all venomy.
Yeah. They went to the liquor store. They never went to the hospital. So they get into it again.
Yeah, she needs to go to the hospital.
And she's pumped full of venom. He forces her back to the snake box, and it's, like, kind of set out from the house in, like, its own little, like, shed.
Oh, my gosh.
And he shoves her head into the snake box. She was forced to take the lid off the snake box. He shoved her face into it. She knew in this documentary that, like, because how often she's handling these snakes, if it bites me in the hand, I might lose a finger, but I'm going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
If it gets me in the face, I'm dead.
Yeah, right.
So she fights him enough that she's... Gets her hand in there, it bites her a second time. They go back in the house. And they've been at this for days now.
Yeah. This is like a long fight.
Yeah. So she pumps him full of vodka because it makes him sleepy. Gets him to down a whole fifth of vodka.
Well.
And after he passes out, she's able to call her sister, who calls 911 to send help. And after a few minutes, like, nothing's happening. Which if I'm two snake bites deep and my husband's trying to kill me, I'm going to need them to...
Yeah, you got to hurry. You got to hurry. Pep in your step, man.
She crawls out to the street. And she's like making her way up this like dirt road, poorly lit street.
Oh my God.
The ambulance finally finds her, turns the lights off, turns the sirens off, takes her to the hospital. Because they didn't want to wake Glenn. She's like, please don't wake my husband. Please don't wake my husband. Please don't wake my husband.
Oh my God.
So... She does live.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, she's in the documentary, so spoiler.
But barely.
Oh, my God.
And she's, like, definitely, like, her thumb's gone.
Oh, my God!
And Doris, sweet little Doris, big team Doris, you can see the burns in her hands from where she tried to save their daughter from the fire.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, he is obviously arrested.
Yes.
And he's tried for attempted murder for shoving Darlene into the snake box.
Indeed.
The trial happens in the same courthouse the Scottsboro Boys did trial in.
Oh, wow.
And according to the newspapers, the courtroom also had a room down the hall that was in the middle of a child murder case. So these things are happening very quickly in cycles in Scottsboro.
Oh, my gosh. So there's, like, some violence.
Now, I found this coverage in the New York Times. Arguably, nothing will ever be pettier.
We love a petty. I'm so ready.
In the coverage of this trial. The author says, quote, on the... on the first day of testimony, the courtroom filled early with... with hard, angular women and men with slicked back hair and unfortunate teeth.
Hard, angular women and men with slicked back hair and unfortunate teeth. That's so terrible. Mm-hmm. Oh, so funny.
Now, it's what noted the fuck? That the people that fill this courtroom are all church members of
Glenn.
Of Glenn.
Oh, God.
who apparently is routinely known at church to, quote, handle snakes, drink strychnine, and touch live electrical wires.
Just touch
them. So you're fucking around with snakes, you're drinking rodent poison, and touching stuff. Because God said so.
Oh, my God.
But he did teach you to read, so, you know.
But just,
you give and you take.
Just the Bible.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, on day one, a defense witness is called to speak to Glenn's character. Mm-hmm. And his abilities at the pulpit.
Okay.
She said that she believed that Darlene was drinking again and had suicidal tendencies.
Mm.
She also said that Darlene told her personally that she was trying to kill Glenn and she attacked Glenn with the snakes.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
On the witness stand, Darlene recounts what happens. The first snake that bit her was a diamondback rattlesnake.
Wow.
The bite turned her finger black. Wow. Like almost immediately.
Wow, that makes sense.
The second snake bite was from a canebrake rattler, and that venom nearly killed her.
Oh.
She said he held her at gunpoint and made her write 2 suicide notes before he fell asleep.
Mm.
She said, quote, he took a pipe and hit the cages real hard, so the snakes got real mad. And then grabbed me by my hair and said he would push my face in there if I didn't stick my hand in there.
Wow.
Quote, he said I had to die because he wanted to marry another woman.
Well.
The prosecution notes that the language in the suicide letter is, like, not a suicide letter.
Mm.
It's an alibi note.
Oh.
Because of the number of times it's like, daddy was asleep, daddy's asleep, Glenn is asleep.
Mm.
Over and over and over again.
Mm, Glenn gave it away.
Yeah. The jury deliberates for 5 hours. And in the meantime, the church folk are just milling about the courthouse.
This sounds like church folk sit by there doing wrong, pastor.
With Darlene.
What? What? She's just... Oh, my God. So unhealthy.
Uh-huh.
Now, these spiritual systems.
The same New York Times author
mm.
is describing this hallway encounter and describes Darlene, who's signing with these church people, like she's not the plaintiff in a murder case.
Oh, my God.
As, quote, attractive in a raw-boned way.
Oh, my God. She can't just be saying that shit.
Mm-hmm.
So mean.
Yeah. Glenn is... charged with attempted murder.
Wow.
Convicted of attempted murder. Glenn lives in Alabama.
Oh.
Where there is a 3-strike rule.
Mm.
And because he is already a 2-time offender, strike 3 is a mandatory 99 years.
Well, Glenn's done for.
Mm-hmm.
Is he still alive?
Yes.
Wow.
A lot of people don't believe he did it because, like, he's a preacher man.
Well, a lot of people don't believe a lot of preacher men don't do a lot of things. Uh-huh. So.
And a lot of people blame Darlene because she didn't leave when the abuse started.
Well, a lot of people say that, and they're bullshits.
And Marty talks a lot about, like, losing both of his parents.
Well, Marty's had a hard time.
He said it affected him mostly because he doesn't have any good examples of how to raise his own kids.
Yeah, that's hard for Marty.
He knows he didn't want to be a, quote, tough dad, and he knows he's raising really good kids, but he gives most of the credit to his wife, who grew up in a very regular family.
Well, that's fair.
He said, quote, I look back at it now and think if I'd stay there... there's no telling where I'd be.
Mm. Oh, poor Marty.
Yeah. Some aftermath.
Okay. Do share the rest.
Glenn believes that God will give him his real fate. And that if he wants Glenn to be in prison, then that's the way it will be.
Okay. What a nifty little way to avoid responsibility.
I mean, I don't know, actions. Like, a lot of legal jargon, but I don't think that's what the Bible meant when they said they speak in tongues.
No.
The defense witness absolutely ruined her chance at Pentecostal heaven because on the stand, literally hand on the Bible.
Oh.
She swore up and down that Darlene was trying to get Glenn to kill. She was trying to kill Glenn because they both wanted a divorce.
Oh.
But she was afraid to lose Marty. Glenn said he felt sorry for Darlene and wouldn't divorce her.
Is she a secret lover?
Tammy Flippo, 23 years old, said he was a good, faithful man. And then the prosecution did approximately 29 seconds of digging and found out that they were sleeping together.
So he has a type of the young 20 somethings.
Yes. Now, fasting forward a little bit. Glenn is doing a work detail in Talladega.
Uh-huh.
And escapes prison on February 21st, 2003. God said freedom is not for you, and he was found 45 minutes later in a dumpster and was escorted right back to serve his sentence.
45 minutes later.
And got a bonus 30 years for doing it to run concurrently with his current 99 years.
45 minutes later in a dumpster. Mm-hmm. Glenn!
This documentary, Alabama Snake, just ends in a way that, like, I couldn't do it better.
Okay.
You get the, like, little end pop-up text. Mm-hmm. Of, like, the, where are they now?
Mm-hmm. The little sign-off.
Uh-huh. The first one says, quote, he has not yet ascended into heaven. he also hasn't ascended into society because he was up for parole in June of 2024, and that was denied.
Shocking.
He can keep appealing, but the earliest that he's going to be released is February 4th, 2121, and that is the story of Glenn Summerford.
I think Glenn did it. Glenn's a douche. I mean, I think the whole situation is incredibly unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
I do him can... Glenn did wrong.
Yeah.
I'm on Darlene's side.
Mm-hmm.
And hope that 23-year-old got some therapy.
Or...
Is she a prison girlfriend?
I don't know.
Okay. I just got worried.
I hope not, because now he's like getting like real up there in age.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know, I mean.
Some people are into that. Somebody married Charles Manson. That's all I'm saying.
Some people just have very specific wounds that fit very specific predators.
Yep.
So that's very sad. You know what? That's a sad quote I just said. sad thing I just said. I think Jessica, this very October vibes come a little sad.
Come out hot.
Very depressing.
One could say like a pissed off rattlesnake.
A pissed off rattlesnake. I don't even know what to do with this story. Poor Glenn. Poor Darlene. Poor Doris.
Mm-hmm. Not poor Glenn.
No, not poor Glenn. Fuck that guy. Poor Marty.
Yeah, really. Marty and the other children.
Yeah.
The other just five. Got like left by the wayside.
Just like. They're with the first wife, so. Mm-hmm. Man, that was sad.
Yeah.
The other five.
I did promise you a blend of pop culture and religion.
You did, and you
and
delivered.
I delivered.
You delivered. It was quite a thing.
Consider me anointed.
Well, y'all, this was Hate Podcast. You know, leave us a review.
Give us 5 stars. If you don't give us 5 stars, then you also will not ascend into heaven. Okay, love you, bye.